Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Empowering Family Caregivers on Blog Talk Radio. I am Susan Bida, your host and co-founder of eCareDiary.com, a leading website for family caregivers managing elder care. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope you're enjoying this holiday week and staying very warm. Today's show I'm conducting out of Bethesda, Maryland, where we're visiting my husband's family and are happy to be out of the blizzard back in New York City. But I actually have nothing to complain about because today's guest is from St. Paul, Minnesota, where I last heard it is about 2 degrees.
Yeah.
Before I introduce her, very cold. Before I introduce her, I'd like to remind everyone that you can listen to any of our past shows on ecarediary.com by clicking on our blog tab. And I also encourage you to register for our free newsletter if you haven't done so already, so that you can learn about our future shows as well as about special offers and discounts on senior products that we offer on our site. So without further ado, I'm very pleased to introduce today's guest, Lori LaBay. She is the founder of Alzheimer Speaks and Senior Lifestyle Trends. And let me tell you a little bit about those two areas of focus for her. Alzheimer Speaks is a resource center for caregivers and seniors that provides easy access to a variety of services, tools, concepts, and products when dealing with Alzheimer's. Having been a caregiver to her own parents who suffered from brain cancer and Alzheimer's, Lori educates people on the techniques she learned during her experiences. Lori has 30 years of experience with seniors, 10 in the healthcare field, and the last 20 in real estate. She develops and leads presentations to address seniors' needs for corporations, seniors, and their adult children. Her presentations are designed to increase awareness and decrease stress factors for seniors and those they work with. Lori also owns and operates her own consulting firm that develops tools to simplify the moving process for seniors, along with alleviating stress and educating them on housing alternatives. This is a good one for me because my own mother is going through a downsizing from her current home. In addition, Lori runs Senior Lifestyle Trends, a Minnesota-based company which works with and speaks to corporations, organizations, and groups of all sizes regarding the seniors market. And besides being a trainer, consultant, and spokesperson, she is also an author and is currently in the process of writing a book on Alzheimer's. And I believe the working title is Alzheimer Speaks, Guiding Caregivers to Their Best. Lori, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Susan. I'm excited to be with you.
Oh, wonderful. Well, I would love to ask you a first question about being an advocate on steroids for Alzheimer's disease and caregiving. What do you mean by that? I think that's something that you refer yourself to, yourself as.
Yeah, I'm just kind of a nut in terms of dealing with our seniors and making sure that people have proper care. And I got to that point just because my mom has had memory problems for 30 years. She'll be 83 New Year's Day, and she's now in her end stage of the disease.
Happy birthday to her, by the way.
Yeah, oh, thank you. I'll pass that along. And then my father had brain cancer for 4.5 years. So, I'm almost 52, and so over half of my life I've kind of been in a major caregiving role. And I've just seen a lot of black holes that adult children fall into and people who are caring for their loved ones. And I want to change that. So my goal is really to change how caregiving is perceived, received.
Yes. Now, what exactly do you want to see changed and why? Hello? I think we lost Lori there. Lori has spent many years, as she mentioned earlier, working with seniors, and as you just heard, her own parents. I'm waiting for Lori to get back on the line with us, and I think she is back. Hold on one second.
I'm back.
Lori, are you there?
I'm back. I don't know what happened, but I'm
I think
back.
You got dropped. I'm sorry about that. Well, why don't we go back to where you left off? We wanted to know exactly what you want to see changed and why.
Well, basically, you know, I want to change how caregiving is perceived, received, and delivered. And I think in order to do that, we need to start at to me, in this country, it's we're crisis. You know, we're driven by fear, and that's how so much of marketing is done. And I think that that really needs to shift into a natural state of who we are. I believe that caregiving starts as soon as we're conceived, or as soon as we know that someone's conceived, there's a relationship developed, and that it does not end until we pass, and some people would even argue that, and that it is just a natural state that we ebb and flow through life with, and it just changes in terms of levels of how much we have to step up, how much we want to provide care to somebody during their needed times, and what our life allows us to offer, versus this big crisis given, you know, turmoil that's out there. And
that's
so,
really interesting. So your perspective is that we're caregivers from the very beginning, whether we know it or not, and that we just really go through very, different levels and stages of it.
Exactly. Caregiving is, you know, there's a relationship. People go, well, how can you be a caregiver when you're in the womb? And I've said, how many tummies have you talked to? How many bellies have you patted? Caregiving is about relationships. That's all it is. And it's just different levels of the relationship and where it takes you. That's all. And I think if people can get to shift that mindset, it really reduces the fear. And it allows the relationship to maintain versus, you know, so many times people feel they are losing their relationships with the person they're caring for, because they're so overwhelmed. And if we can get people to remember you're caring for somebody because of a relationship, then it doesn't dwindle and people don't get quite as overwhelmed.
I think that's a very important point you're bringing up, because I think people see themselves as, feel very overwhelmed when they're suddenly, thrust into this, the enormity of responsibility involved with someone who's just been diagnosed with a disease. But I think, to your point, you know, it's a relationship that we're in with that person, and then, you know, we're just entering a different phase and degree of, let's just call it what it is. I mean, it is stressful to watch your own parent go through these life changes, but nonetheless, our relationship does shift, and I think that you have some really interesting, I've been on your website, and you have some really very helpful tips and tools to help, adult children coping with these changes in their parents and their loved ones.
Yeah, a lot of it is, we have to let go of control. To me, one of the biggest things that I learned was I was a control freak, and I hit my checklist, and I was the dutiful daughter. But in terms of why I did that, when I thought it was the right thing to do and I thought I was helping out. But when I really stepped back and looked at it, a lot of what I was doing was to make me feel better, to make me feel in control. And the truth of the matter is, when you are really caring for somebody, it shouldn't be about you. It should be about them. And so one of the tools that I developed was then called Your Memory Chip, which people can get on the website. And that is just all about really asking yourself a couple of questions. And those questions are, what do I want this person to know? And for most of us, it's that I love them. What do I need to focus on? Which most of us focus on our checklist. I have to bring them to the doctor. I have to get the medications. They've got to eat and clean clothes and yada, yada, yada. And it's that busy work list that makes us feel good when we're checking it off. But what I found was if we don't focus on the actual task, but we focus on three words, are they safe, are they happy, are they pain-free, the care truly is about the person that you're caring for. And you let go of so many things that aren't important, especially, you know, I found in dealing with my mom, you know, with Alzheimer's disease, when they repeat the same story or ask the same questions 52 times in 20 minutes, I mean, you're ready to pull your hair out.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, if you ask, are they safe, are they happy, are they pain-free, it now becomes irrelevant because you know you're not going to change their mind. And
right.
So and it makes it about them. Same when they don't know your name anymore or who you are. That's a very difficult thing for all of us to deal with because our egos get in the way and we make it about us.
Right.
And
is this
so,
what you're talking about with regard to shifting society's beliefs and standards with regards to treating those with Alzheimer's?
Yeah, that's definitely part of it. It's all about getting back to the basics of the relationship. I think we need to get government and we need to get big business, the hospitals, the insurance companies on board too, because part of the problem I see is everybody is recreating the wheel. Everyone, you know, marketing's about differentiating yourself. And so when it comes to caring is really a very basic thing. Like I said, that I believe that we start as soon as we're born, and, you know, we do it if we want to or not till the day we die. And it's the level of care that we get to choose. How much do we want to do? But every organization, you know, redevelops a system for every disease. And if people would work collaboratively together and say, you know what, caring is caring. I don't care if it's caregiving or care receiving. It all has a basic model. And then let's a la carte the specialty needs to each disease or illness or stage of life so that it's not so overwhelming for the public to deal with. And it becomes more of a normal process with true tools that will guide you through
mm-hmm.
so that it really is more of a life lesson that you're learning in the process instead of feeling like it's, oh, my gosh, I got to start from scratch again because
mm-hmm.
It really isn't when we focus on the relationships.
Lori, your background includes healthcare and real estate. Can you share with the audience how have these two areas influenced you in your work with caregivers and seniors?
Oh, it's been amazing. I actually had a friend who's a speaker do an exercise that people might want to do. And it was breaking your life down into five-year increments and writing down what was the most important thing that happened to you or who was the most important person or the most important event in your life. And then I chained those together, and what I realized was all of my life I've been drawn to the mature market. I've been drawn to the elderly. I have been absolutely fascinated by them. So when I was in healthcare, it was absolutely no different. When I got into real estate, I had no idea why. I had never known anyone in my life who had really moved because people just didn't back then. That was 25 years ago. And I was immediately drawn to the senior market. And what I saw amazed me because, first of all, people didn't realize there was even a senior market back then.
Mm-hmm.
Businesses would say, what are you talking about? And I'm like, this is a very, very different move. Yes, it has a lot of similarities, but it is so different when people have been in their homes as long as they have been.
And then transition, either downsize or
transition.
Are you
still there?
Yes,
are
I'm
we still
here. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, I can hear. I don't know what happened again.
Okay. It could be the snow. Who knows? Maybe it's the storm.
Yep, it might be.
Lori, can you clarify for us, so what sector of healthcare were you in?
I worked in the group home industry with mentally ill and mentally retarded.
Got it. Okay.
Many were, you know, older adults, and I just found it absolutely fascinating and very much relationship-based. But it was also frustrating because you're dealing with the whole code compliance and things that healthcare has to deal with, and trying to find a balance of having respect, independence, and dignity for the one you're working with, and still meeting, you know, the compliance needs
right
that are at hand.
You know, I was having a conversation with my brother-in-law and his sister, whose father is suffering from Alzheimer's disease. He's really in the very late stages of Alzheimer's, and they're about to move him into a facility that is specializes in Alzheimer's patients. And I told them that I was speaking with you today, and that you have a background in healthcare and real estate. And I was just curious, since we're on this topic, about how to transition seniors with Alzheimer's, you know, their living situation. And, you know, I guess when they're in the early stages, I mean, are there changes that need to take place within their own homes? And then obviously, you know, there's a lot that goes on as they progress with the disease and where they need to be cared for. What's I guess your experience with that?
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that, you know, the saying goes, when you've met one person with Alzheimer's disease, you've met one person with Alzheimer's disease, that there are no two the same. And
right.
So, and it's very, very difficult for doctors or families to predict how this disease will progress. But what I
right.
found with my mother in particular was she made a decision early on.
We lost you there for a second. Are you back?
I'm back again.
Okay. All right. Can you just repeat what you were saying?
Sure. With my mom, she actually gave our family a gift, which was very backwards, and we didn't look at it like one originally. But when my dad got diagnosed with brain cancer towards the end, he took a fall, and he ended up having to move into a nursing home and was not going to be able to leave. And the plan was my mom was always going to live with us. I mean, for years we had talked about she would come and live with us. And
when you say live with us, that meant living with you and your siblings?
Me and my family. And so my husband and my daughter.
Yes.
And that was just the way it was always going to be. And we were a very close family. And they had lived with us on and off during different stages of illness and disease and things. And after about 2 weeks of my dad being in the nursing home, my mom woke up one morning, clear as a bell, and said, "I want to move into the nursing home." And I said, "But Mom, that's not the plan," you know? And
yeah.
She said, "I know." She said, "But I've been with him for 49 and a half years, and I'm not leaving him now." And so we had a big family meeting, and we actually discussed this. And when I look back, I think, how silly. I mean, of course she didn't want to leave him. You know, they were two peas in a pod. They had always
right.
been together. Who were we to make that change? So my mom ended up moving into the nursing home, but not with my dad, where everybody wanted her to be. I said, you know, she does not need to watch him die. But what she does need is to get acclimated to her new living environment. And so it worked out beautifully, and I think it'll be 10 years this spring my mom's been in the nursing home, and I think the only reason she has lived this long is because she got acclimated early, and she made friends with all the staff. I mean, they
That's
were wonderful, absolutely wonderful to her. I mean, they would take her for walks, and she thought she was going out for walks with friends. You know,
would you mind sharing? What nursing home facility this is? Is this a local one in your area?
Yeah, it's a local one. Lucked out. It was the only male bed local for my dad, which ended up being two blocks from my house. It's a Volunteers of America nursing home called Maplewood Care Center. And I cannot recommend them highly enough. They have been absolutely fantastic. And not that we haven't had our bumps in the road, but we talk about them and we talk through them, and they work with us and we work with them. And it truly is one big family effort. And my mom is now part of their family. And so, you know, I think that's part of the fear that has to be gotten over, too, is, and again, it was difficult for me. I was in real estate for 25 years. I helped other families transition all the time. I always, you know, gave advice and guidance in terms of where people could be placed. But when it came to mom, I didn't want to do it because the good daughter syndrome hit me.
Yeah.
And it hits most of us, and it's very, very difficult because we make it about us. You know, we look at it and we say, well, I always promised that they would not move into a nursing home. Well,
right.
when we make those promises, things are very, very different. And
they sure are.
You know, what's going to happen? And so, you know, I encourage people to get out there and investigate the assisted living, the nursing home. So many people think that they're the way they were 30 years ago. But they're not. They're gorgeous. I mean, I will not mind moving into an assisted living or a market rate or, you know, a memory care or whatever if my time comes for that, because they have changed significantly. Mm-hmm. And
can you share with us what are some of the key factors families and seniors should keep in mind when they're looking for housing alternatives?
Well, you know, I think there's one thing I want to go over before I go over that, if that's okay. It's called the FLIC factor. The FLIC factor. It's FLICCCK. And it's the eight things that everybody considers when they make a move, no matter, you know, if they're elderly or if it's their first time home. And it's important to look at these things closely and put them into perspective for the age and stage of life that the person is in. And the F stands for finances. And, you know, most seniors will say, oh, I can't afford that. But it's time to look at total financial picture. So how much do they have in the bank? How much do they have in monthly income, stocks and bonds? How much, you know, how much is that house worth that they're sitting on? I mean, the list goes on and on and on. It's really looking at big financial picture. And then the L stands for loss. And loss is very, very important in this move, because any time we transition to a new home, there's going to be loss, loss of memories, loss of items. If they're, you know, if they're moving to a smaller setting, it might be they can't bring their pet with them. There's all different types of loss that can go on. And then the I stands for independence. And most seniors, when they move, that they're going to lose their independence.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to become dependent. But nobody moves to become more dependent. I mean, it's just a fact. It's all about gaining and maintaining your independence. And then the C's stand for control, comfort, change, and confidence. And the confidence is really about being confident in your decision. And you can't be confident if you're not educated, if you don't talk about things, if you don't investigate. Because if you're younger and you have little kids, or if you're older and you have big kids, become a factor and they become relative in your decision making. And some may want you to move, others may not. And so, you know, it's looking at that whole family decision and who really has the right and the ability and your best interest as an elder at heart here when making the move. And, you know, then we have like a personal needs assessment that just talks about very basic things, but, you know, aren't you seeing right now? And many people that they are living in a much smaller place, room-wise, than what their house is. You know, it's just a much, they just don't need that much. So, you know, why have somebody maintain a yard? I mean, if you're really not utilizing it. And talking about one level versus steps. you know, do you have a disease that might creep up on you later in life? You know, because if you're making a move, you typically you want to make it as few as possible because it's not a fun process and it is stressful. So
it's very stressful. I want to ask you about stress, actually, because my mother is very stressed out. You know, she put her home on the market in October, and now she has a buyer, and she just signed a contract, and lo and behold, she has to move out in a month. And she's incredibly stressed. She feels very overwhelmed about all this furniture, and she's definitely moving to a much smaller place. What could you suggest to help her reduce her stress? I mean, I'm stressed out, but I'm concerned about her because, to your point about loss, I think this is a, you know, I think while this is a very positive lifestyle change for her, I think she is definitely sensing a tremendous sense of loss.
Well, talk about, you know, most seniors with anxiety will talk about moving as a downsizing process, and downsizing is all about giving up and what you can't have anymore. So I use the word amenable. And what that stands for is getting...
What word is that again?
Amenicizing.
Amenicizing.
And, yep. And it's just getting the right amenities with the right size for your needs.
Okay.
It's what we do at every stage of life, but it's critical as we get older to really make a positive move. Make this be about independence. Make this about same socialization. Making this about people interacting as fully as possible. And when they look at amenicizing, it just makes it because it's in their control.
Right.
And now another thing that they can do, I've seen people do very well, and it's helped them transition, is to take a box and just take one item per room that they want to put in their new home in the same room. So, for example, a woman might have a lot of good dishes, but she really doesn't have more. So it's time to either sell those dishes or maybe pass them on to a daughter or a son who is going to do the holidays now, but maybe keep a teacup. And when she looks, it will trigger all the wonderful memories she had with her family, all the time she's had, and she's gifting, you know, her family, if that's where the dishes are going, them to be able to create some new memories in their household. And you just take
that's a great idea.
One item per room that just helps them remember. Because one of the fears when we move, it just kind of like with a person who is ill, we worry we're not going to remember the way things were. We're only going to remember the way things are. And sometimes we feel that those things are forced on us, and they're really not our decisions. So, again, it's all about embracing the positive and helping them realize that they're not going to forget and that this is not the it's another stage.
Yes, it is. Another stage and with full of possibility.
Yeah, and none of us know how many stages we have.
And
life is about growth and life is about change. And, you know, one of the things I always point out to people, but this is the perfect home, you know, and this is the perfect, I have the perfect life. And I say, you know, perfect only happens once, and it's a very short moment, and it can't be duplicated. We always have to recreate perfect, even if it's making the same dinner, you know, from Monday to Tuesday.
Right.
Things have totally changed. And so we are always about recreating perfect and what works for us, and we're all able to do that.
Lori, we have almost less than a minute left, and I really want to touch on your future book. Could you tell us about it?
Yeah, the book that I'm writing about Alzheimer's disease is just in draft form at this point, and it's kind of taken a turn And I'm not quite sure if the working title is going to remain the same or it might turn into be called the hybrid caregiver.
Okay.
Which will all be about the conscious awakening of relationships and about the emotional giving, because I think that's the driving force behind caregiving. If it's Alzheimer's disease or anything else, it truly is wrapped around the relationship and the emotional giving, because that's what people want. They want things to be normal. And normal is wrapped in emotion, the good, the bad, the ugly.
That's right. And I couldn't have said that more clearly. Now, you have two websites that people can visit. One is called Alzheimer's Speaks, Alzheimer's, and Speaks, SPEAKS.com. And your second website is SeniorLifestyleTrends.com. So these are two areas where you can, these are two websites that you can visit and learn more about Lori and learn more about the resources for caregivers for who are caring for those suffering from Alzheimer's disease on AlzheimerSpeaks.com and Senior Lifestyle Trends. Lori, if you can clarify, is more about seniors
more
transitioning?
That is actually more my business site for speaking and training on that
okay.
site, but I can easily get them information regarding, there's information on there regarding real estate and so forth. And if anybody wants to email me directly, just take either of the websites and then add my first name, Lori, L-O-R-I, at either Alzheimer's Speaks or Senior Lifestyle Trends. And I actually have some forms if people are working on, you know, do I stay put? Do I sell and buy? Do I sell and rent? And a little personal needs assessment I'd be glad to send out to people.
Oh, that's wonderful, Lori.
Like that,
so many people have, I think, questions about how to proceed on, you know, with regard to the homes that they own and, you know, what steps to take. So thank you very much for sharing that. I'd like to thank our audience for tuning in. Join us next time on Monday, January 3rd at 2 o'clock p.m. Eastern, when I will interview Linda Simmons. She's the author of Island Girl, which talks about the issue of reuniting a family while having to deal with Alzheimer's disease. To learn more about eCare Diary and our upcoming shows, visit ecarediary.com. Registration is free, and it gives you immediate access to your personal care diary tool. You can find us on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. And I'm always looking for new friends on Twitter, so please follow me at ecarediarysusan. Thank you again, Lori, and we look forward to speaking with you again in the near future.
Okay, great. Have a wonderful day. Thanks again. Okay.
Happy holidays. Take care.
Sure.